The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All the way from the magical city of Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast about the book and film universe of Harry Potter, so grab your favorite wands and time turners. Let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. And welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I was never, ever, ever good with girls. Just was not the best. Actually, no, not the best is would be putting it very lightly. I was awful with girls. I was awkward. I got nervous. Okay. I won't go ball with me. That would be me. And I was so incredibly lucky that I got my bride a little inebriated.
Family-friendly podcast.
Okay, fair enough. I got her...
It's fine. Just move on.
Yeah,
just move on.
Sure. In order to say yes, that she would date me.
All false.
That's not false. That's patently true.
I met you on the internet and you asked me out on the internet.
I know, but I asked.
I was in my pajamas watching Harry Potter when I said yes.
No, I asked you to go out, like you have a date, yeah. But I actually
anyway,
asked you.
Anyway, let's move on. Hi. I too, you know, everyone has their awkward stories of high school and junior high and of asking people to go to dances if they had dances at their school. You know, I remember I was so tall. I think I've been this height pretty much 6 feet since kindergarten. I was the tree in my kindergarten class play. I've been that tall. So a lot of boys, particularly the ones that took some time to grow, didn't feel comfortable necessarily asking me to dances. So I ended up asking the boys.
Did you really?
Yeah. Oh, for this age, for like the 14-year-old range age, I definitely asked my best guy friend to multiple dances. And that was just our deal. Like, listen, we probably won't have boyfriends or girlfriends. We probably won't have anybody else asking us. Let's just keep going to each other's dances until we actually get a boyfriend or girlfriend. And this way we're covered. We're friends. Like, we're not romantically involved. You want to know what's crazy? The guy that I went to most of my dances with, his last name was Early. My last name was Earl. So we sat next to each other since kindergarten. Wow. And so we just knew each other. And we were like, we're never going to be romantically involved. Let's just call a spade a spade and like get to these dances. But yeah, as I got older, I began asking more boys. And I made it my point to like ask the hottest senior.
Yeah.
And he said yes. And I was like, score. This is great.
But you didn't do the Ron. You didn't like freak out when he asked Floor.
No. No. Yeah. So this, once again, I am like Ron. I was just like, I'm going to ask the hottest upperclassmen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just went up and I went, hey, some of your friends are going with some of my friends. We should just go to the dance together. My name's Mary, by the way. He said, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And I feel really bad because I realized in hindsight, I should have gone with his brother who was in my grade, who I was actually friends with.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, well.
There is 0.0 chance that I would have ever done that. In fact, when I was 14, I think I was still obsessed with trying to talk in the Star Trek AOL chat rooms. Yeah, that was me.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
That was awesome.
It's all good, man. Well, here we are, Chapter 22, The Unexpected Task. But every time he glimpsed Cho that day during break and then lunchtime and once on the way to the History of Magic, she was surrounded by friends. Didn't she ever go anywhere alone? Could he perhaps ambush her as she was going into a bathroom? But no, she even seemed to go in there with an escort of 4 or 5 girls. Yet if he didn't do it soon, she was bound to have been asked by someone else. He found it hard to concentrate on Snape's potions test and consequently forgot to add the key ingredient, Ibazar.
Bezor.
Whatevs. I make it up in my mind because I read the books first, meaning that he received bottom marks. Interesting. We'll get back to that in a second. He didn't care, though. He was too busy screwing up his courage for what he was about to do. When the bell rang, he grabbed his bag and hurried to the dungeon door. I said this one for a couple of reasons.
Yeah, why? Well,
but first and foremost, hello! He, like, forgets the ingredient that ends up saving Ron Weasley's life!
That's true.
In The Half-Blood Prince, and I just think it's so interesting.
It was actually introduced in the Chamber, not the Chamber of Secrets,
in
the
Sorcerer's Stone.
Yes, exactly.
So it just keeps coming back. And I loved that, you know, that it's something that we have to keep being reminded of that can help with the antidotes. So
yes.
The other thing that I find so funny is it is true. Girls at this age do go to the bathroom together.
Girls at every age go to the bathroom together.
Not you gotta go poo.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the poop bathroom option is off the table. That's off limits.
Yeah, that's not social time.
No.
That is...
That's getting to business.
Or like, I'm just going to wait till I go home. I mean, listen, guys. You're all listening to the Potterverse. We're all nerds here together. Let's be real. Okay? I don't know anybody who's like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom for reals. Who wants to come with me? Nope. Tinkle together? Fine. That's it. And generally, just go powder your nose.
I'm not a poop in public person.
Okay, we know. None of us are.
Well, some people are.
Bold and brave, okay? They are bold and brave people. So we're moving on.
Those are all people who poo in public are just Gryffindors. That's it.
No.
Yes.
I don't poo in public.
Well, I mean,
I'm a Gryffindor.
Yeah, but no, I'm not saying that every Gryffindor does.
I highly doubt, Blake.
That the only ones that do are Gryffindors.
No, there's no like chart in Hogwarts being like, all right, children, who's the one that's the bravest to poop in public?
Are you telling me?
Gryffindor wins the house cup. No, no.
Hey, Dumbledore would make it so that Gryffindor won the house cup.
Stop. Anyway, before we delve into this chapter, which I promise you the bathroom talk ends here, we do want to remind you that this podcast is sponsored by friends like you who have gone to jointhenerdclan.com. This is like your final reminder that if you would like to get a holiday card from Blake and myself, potentially even a holiday gift from Blake and myself, you do need to look into becoming a member at jointhenerdclan.com, where as little as $2 a month, it goes to contribute to this Mom and Pop podcast. If we've brought you Lumos in a time of darkness, in a time of Nox, you know, just know that doing something as simple as supporting this supports our family, helps us take care of our kids, helps us pay our bills, helps us make sure that the podcast can keep coming to you free. So if you do feel like being a gifting person this holiday season, think about making a contribution right there. And as I said, if you do it by Thanksgiving, we will be able to send those of you who contribute at the certain levels your gifts and your holiday mail as well. All right, here we go. Let's step into this chapter.
Let's do it.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
Right. So in this chapter, The Unexpected Task, it's kind of like the fourth task. There's a Yule Ball, and there's only Yule Balls during the Triwizard Tournament.
Yes.
So interesting thing. Good luck asking a date. So Harry continues to try to ask his crush Cho Chang, only to find out that she's already been asked by Cedric Diggory. Ruh-roh. Used to be your friend. Now I hate your guts. And he ends up going with Pavarti Patel.
Well, he asks Pavarti Patel.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
hopefully,
she says yes.
And hopefully she...
she says yes, and she says, I'll bring my sister, too.
Well, yeah, hopefully she's able to hook Ron up with the sister. Because, you know, Lavender...
It happens, Blake. We've read this book.
Wait, who's Lavender going with? Seamus?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
But how interesting.
I know.
She almost went with Ron. Their courtship could have happened even earlier.
Well, again, it goes to show you that the author does... Whether or not she consciously knew that she was going to pair Lavender up with Ron... is, I think, up for debate. As I have always contended, she was figuring out her world as she was writing. Like, obviously, she had a plan, you know, from day one, but figuring out the nuances, figuring out the world building, the specific instances of what the world looked like, I think she was developing that as time went along.
And let's just be real. Romance at this age, we're keeping in mind, you know, 14 years old, they really ebb and flow. You date a kid who used to pick his nose the year before because why not, right? You may have a crush on somebody, you not even realize it for 3 more years. So I like it. I like seeing the ebbing and the flowing of this age demo, as I find it to be quite, quite true.
You know, and I like this chapter because it, you know, we go through these books, and as we're going through them, what we're dealing with is
we're dealing with the idea of, I'm Harry freaking Potter, right? We're dealing with that idea that Harry Potter has become much more than just a little school story. It is a battle.
She's only interested in you because you're famous. You're the chosen one.
Yeah, and he is the chosen one. And it is light versus dark, good versus evil. Dumbledore and these masters of wizardry clashing with each other, and potentially Voldemort coming back at this point. And what we forget, or what I think is possible to forget, or easily lost in all of this, is that he's just 14 years old.
Yeah.
He's 14. And this chapter takes the entire scope of everything that this book has accomplished so far, specifically the Triwizard Tournament, and said, nope, we're bringing it all back into this one teeny tiny room. And the stakes are teeny tiny, like little, but they're massive in terms of your emotions for a 14-year-old.
Yep.
That's why I really liked this chapter.
And at least Eloise Midgen's acne is clearing up. God bless her. Because these are the years when it starts to hit you really awkwardly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Goodness. Goodness
gracious.
Poor
Eloise.
And like, how about Harry, too, also? Just like, not even recognizing at first that all these girls are going to actually really want to go to the ball with him because he is the chosen one. Like, how innocent and cute and beautiful is that?
Love it. How he was so nervous when he first gets asked that he's like, no.
And yeah. He didn't even think about it. He was just, no. Okay, see you later.
It is crazy. So this, of course, takes place the day after the first task, when Harry is still riding that high of beating the Hungarian horntail. He even makes mention of how he would rather do that than ask a girl to the dance and to do the dancing in front of everybody, that he would rather face the Hungarian horntail again. So he's got about a month to ask someone and get this all figured out in regards to the Yule Ball.
I have a question about the Yule Ball.
Yes.
And I suppose it would encompass the Triwizard Tournament as well, but specifically the Yule Ball, which is, at the beginning of the book, Ron's mother and his brothers, they all seemed to know what was coming.
Yes.
Because they're like, oh, here's the way. And she gives him the robes and all that other stuff. Yet, nobody in Ron and Harry's class seems to know what's coming at all.
In regards to the Yule Ball.
In regards to the Yule Ball. Because Professor McGonagall is the one saying, this has always been a part of our tradition. We're doing this. You're going to dance. Not only are you going to dance, you're Harry, you are one of the competitors. You have to dance. It's the opening number. You are going to, and you're going to get a partner. The text suggests that none of these kids actually know about it. So how much of this, the Yule Ball and the Triwizard Tournament, is actually prevalent in the wizarding lore?
I'd say very little. Because it's not like this happens every 3 years. It used to happen regularly, and it hasn't happened for a long time because too many people were dying and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, think about things that, like, our parents did that maybe they talked about. And they were like, oh, yeah, and then we had, like, a Christmas dance at school. It was super cute. And you're like, whatever. Picking my nose. I'm 14. 14-year-olds don't listen to anyone except other 14-year-olds. They're just so, focused on their school and their classmates and their crushes. They're not going to be asking their parents that what school was like when they went. You know, I think that it's just the naivete of the age, and that the Triwizard Tournament hasn't happened for a long time. So it's not this regular thing that you look forward to. It's almost like there was this thing back in the olden days that happened. So even though the Triwizard Tournament itself of three champions and doing the three tasks and doing all these obstacles and everything along with it, having the other schools go visit each other, I think that takes more than the dance. So if people were to talk about it, it was more that aspect.
Sure. Let me ask you a question, Mary. The idea of Ron and how he seems to, I don't want to say objectify, because that's not right, but it's, he's concerned about going out with a pretty girl.
Yeah.
Are you out on him in this chapter, or do you just say he's 14 and that's what 14-year-old kids want?
I mean, I wanted to go out with the hottest senior. So I don't think it is. Do I think that it is a beautiful character trait of him that he's looking for someone who's stunning? Not exactly. But how many of us had a crush on a good looking person in school that we didn't even know that well? You know what I mean? Like, how many of us had a crush on a hot person?
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Here. Hello. We just are hanging out with Ron and his closest friends where he can say that. Hi, I've got a crush on the hottest person. I want to ask that person to it. Like, yeah. I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I think as we grow older, we learn that relationships are better established with people who you have things in common with, who light you up, who inspire you to be a better person. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that it's Ron's fault, like shame on Ron to like the hot girl.
Yeah,
I don't think that that's bad. And I think it's very accurate in this age range to daydream and even ask the person.
Yeah.
I think about the people who I had crushes on in high school that were in my school. I didn't talk to most of them. You know, you're so oblivious to the fact that like the guys or gals that you do the class projects with, that you get along with, like it pains me because I'm like, I just want to go back to my high school self. Mind you, I wouldn't have ended up where I am today. So I'm happily married to you. But you want to like shake your high school self and be like, the kid you did all these projects with, that's who you probably should have dated.
Sure.
You know, that's who you should probably have looked to, the one you actually got along with.
Is it true that women really like the bad boy?
No. Some people do. I don't.
Yeah. Because, like, I always struggled with that. Like, I always felt like I was a good kid. I always felt like I did the right thing.
If anyone is listening who's in the age demo where you do want to ask somebody out to a dance or anything like that, I'm going to tell you, if they're a person you talk to, ask them to the dance.
Yeah. Because ultimately,
like,
they're probably
show you're interested.
They're probably just as nervous as you are.
Well, I think when you're in that friend zone, it takes something like a dance or a date to let them notice, like, oh, I didn't see you in that way. Let them know you appreciate them. Say, like, if you're a friend, like if my friend, I had a couple of guys that I did class projects with frequently who I liked in a friendship way, who I would have tolerated being in a relationship with. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Had they said, oh, you look really nice today, I would have been like, Hold up. He's not asking me for the scalpel to cut open the frog that we're dissecting. He said I looked nice today. It would just make me think of things in a different light, yeah, you know? Yeah. So I think it's fine. I think it's fine.
Yeah, I think it's fine too. And as a guy, you know, I can actually kind of relate to that. I mean,
I don't like that Ron puts down Eloise Midgen and calls her a troll. I think that that's unkind. But I mean,
specifically because we know what a troll is in this universe.
Yeah.
And it ain't good.
But there are definitely people that I went to junior high and high school with that like grossed me out. That like picked their nose and ate their boogers.
Oh, the smelly kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. The smelly kid always does that.
It's not always the smelly kid.
No, there's usually some smelly, it's the smelly kid.
No, there's some smelly kids. Listen. People have body issues, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. I don't want to go on a dance with someone who's picking their nose and eating it. And I may have called that person a troll to my best friends.
So you're saying it's possible that all of this. I will tell you.
Saying I'm Ron.
You are absolutely Ron. I will tell you the way that... oh, my goodness.
I hate to admit it because I think a lot of people don't like Ron. I am him.
You are Ron. It just absolutely. You are Book Ron.
Book Run.
Yeah, your book. You're not movie Run.
No.
I don't think so. You're Book Run. But I will say, Fred asking Angelina the way that he did. Oh man. Yes, that a boy.
Kahunes.
Oi, you want to go to the dance with me? Yeah, sure. All right.
That was me. That's what I did. Hey, you don't know me. Wanna go?
Oh man.
Love it. Way to go, Fred.
Shouting across a room, you know, doing whatever they're doing.
Now, you can of course invite a younger student. So this is how we get Neville to invite Ginny, which is pretty cool. And I loved this bit where Ron is the one saying, like, oh, Ginny, you should go with Harry. And Ginny turns so red. She gets so upset because we know she's got a crush on Harry. I don't know if you remember this part that much. Let me see if I can pull it on up.
I don't think the text suggests that she has a crush on Harry.
Yes, 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 yes. Okay. Okay, so this is after Ron asks part Vila, Fleur Delacour.
Yes.
She looked at me like I was a sea slug or something. Didn't even answer. And then, I don't know, I sort of came to my senses and ran for it. This is when Harry tells her, oh, yeah, well, she's part Vila. And then he says, you know, Cedric's going with Cho Chang, the girl I wanted. So I just asked her now to go with me, Harry said dully, and she told me. Ginny had suddenly stopped smiling.
Okay.
So here's Harry being like, the girl I like, Cho Chang. Yeah, and that makes Ginny stop smiling.
You know what?
Is mad, says Ron. We're the only ones left who haven't got anyone except Neville. Hey, guess who he asked? And so, he told me after potions that he asked Hermione. She also told him that she's busy. And so Ginny stands up for Neville. Don't laugh. And because, of course, she's going with him. And this is when Ron says, Hermione, you're a girl. Well, you can come with one of us. No, I can't. Oh, come on. We need partners. And you're going to look really stupid if we haven't gotten any. Everyone else has. And she says, I can't come with you. Now blushing.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a little indication, too, that she would have liked Ron to ask her.
Sure.
Because I'm already going with someone. Also, her embarrassment. She doesn't want to tell people who. Let's see. So she goes on, and Ginny knows the truth. Ron says, she's lying, and Ginny says, no, she's not, quietly. So I love that Ginny is keeping Hermione secret. You know, Ginny seems to know that she is going with Victor Crumb. Who is it, then? I'm not telling you. It's her business, says Ginny. Right, said Ron, who looked extremely put out. This is getting stupid. Ginny, you can go with Harry. And I'll just, I can't, said Ginny. And she went scarlet, too.
Yes.
I'm going with Neville. He asked me when Hermione said no, and I thought, well, I'm not going to be able to go otherwise. I'm not in fourth year. She looked extremely miserable. I think I'll go have dinner, she said. And she got up and walked off to the portrait hole, her head bowed.
Oh, man.
Think of that. Think of having a crush on Harry freaking Potter, okay? Yep. And then all of a sudden,
I'm Harry freaking Potter.
You are essentially asked to go to the Yule Ball with Harry freaking Potter.
And then you end up with who? Who?
Neville. No, don't you dare. Neville's one of my top 10. Stop.
Sorry, I did it.
I would go with Neville. That's the boy that asks you, hey, while we're dissecting a frog, would you like to go with me? Yes, you look pretty. Thank you. Yes. Teenage angst.
Notice how none of them actually get to go to the dance with any of their first choices.
Love it.
Everybody has to make do with whatever they got.
That's life, man.
And as long as only if they actually all just communicated with each other in some form or fashion, they would end up being with the person they chose to be with.
Yes.
You know, and I find that fascinating. And another thing I find fascinating in this chapter is how the author seems to set the stage for the way that the school is in terms of how, you know, pardon my...
Oh, dear. Don't say anything rude.
No. Just my lack of better vocabulary.
Oh,
but
shoot.
Like,
okay.
Mm-hmm. But the magicality of Hogwarts. I
thought you were going to see something naughty.
Oh, no. Just like... Because Hogwarts in itself is inherently magical, right?
It is.
So, but the idea, the notion of Christmas at Hogwarts is even more magical. Mm-hmm. And she builds that out with the everlasting icicles and the golden owls that are alive and hooting around all the trees. And she even writes in a bit about how the suits of armor were charmed to sing Christmas carols. But they only knew half of the words.
Loved it.
And Peeves is going in the armor to make up his own lyrics, and Filch has to extract Peeves from the armor. These are the little details that the author, I think, is exceptional at painting a larger landscape of what in which the story operates. Did you notice any other? Settings like that, magical settings like that in this chapter?
I mean, I think you're hitting it on the head, just the little, like you said, fairy lights, just to bring out, when you think of Hogwarts, you're either thinking Quidditch field, Quidditch pitch, you know, the common room, mm-hmm. or Christmas or Halloween. You know what I mean? We're thinking of these big placement things because yes. the author does go into great detail to let you really be there. And here we are entering the Christmas season ourselves. And I know so many people who are Potter fans love to decorate their houses and things like that with things that remind them that were mentioned either in the text or shown in the movies during the holiday season at Hogwarts. Fun little plug, if you are a member of the Mary and Blake group on Facebook, we would love to see the decor that you do add to your houses to make some light, some lumos in the time of Knox during these, the darkest days of the year. So I don't think that there was anything else that jumped out at me in this particular chapter that you didn't already list.
Sure.
In regards to what we get to see at Hogwarts, but I agree with you. It's just nothing major happened this chapter. It's just the awkwardness of teenage yeah. life. Things are getting ready and we are that, moving
the
forward.
The perspective, Harry's perspective of girls and how they seem to mill about the school mm-hmm. Is very special. It really drills down to, and that's another scene setting thing that I think that the author is really special at. I mean, I loved this one passage here where Harry notices this year, however, everyone in the fourth year and above seemed to be staying at Hogwarts, and they all seemed to Harry to be obsessed with the coming ball, or at least all the girls were. It was amazing how many girls at Hogwarts suddenly seemed to hold, by the way. Oh, sorry. It was amazing how many girls Hogwarts seemed to hold. He had never quite noticed that before. Girls giggling and whispering in the corners. Girls shrieking with laughter as boys passed them. Girls excitedly comparing notes on what they were going to wear on Christmas night. Why do they have to move in packs? Harry asked Ron as a dozen or so girls walked past them, sniggering and staring at Harry. How are you supposed to get one of them on their own to ask them? I don't know. Lasso one, Ron suggested. Got any idea on who you're going to try? This is just so... You can feel the frenetic pace of it. You can feel yeah. like the dizziness of Harry walking around and strolling about Hogwarts, just noticing finally all of these girls, not only to ask to go to the ball, but also the fact that he's a 14-year-old kid who's probably finally starting to get these feelings for girls.
Yeah.
And the awkwardness that he has with Cho and "Wanna go ball with me" and tripping over his words. Really special stuff. I really Agreed. Like that about this chapter.
Agreed. Yeah, it brings back, you know, how all the girls were talking about was the ball, and it made me think back to my own time when you cared about every single extra little thing, the accessories, when you got your shoes, when you got your dress, how you were going to do your hair. You know, it makes me even think of as we've grown up older, how people will even get fixated on the little details of planning your wedding, for example.
Ooh, yep, that
you know,
was...
the Pinterest boards that are there for, you know, how you're, like, one of my girlfriends just got married this year, and she had a Pinterest board of the different nail polishes and designs that she wanted to have. And it's fun. You know, in some ways you may look at it when you're in a dark place or when there's other things going on in life and you said, oh my gosh, it's so frivolous. Why did we spend time and money and energy on this when really no one looks at your hands? Yeah. And, you know, no one's going to be looking at the little barrette butterfly that you have in here. But on the flip side, you get to look at it and say, but these are special momentous sure. things that will be documented with photographs. And, you know, just to add those little moments, like having those little fairy lights, you know, these little things that do bring you joy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to recognize that, you know, even I was supposed to be going out with someone who I haven't seen in a very long time tonight. The plan sadly got canceled, but I was actually thinking all week, this is what I want to wear.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how I want to do my hair. Obviously with the pandemic, like we haven't been going out a lot. We don't have sitters. Blake hasn't been well. So it's just been a lot of elements that we really haven't gone out that much. And I was sitting here thinking, okay, this is the outfit because I'm finally leaving my house. And, you know, like I'm going to see other people. And it made me think about these girls talking about it nonstop. How right. it is something when you get to look forward to it.
There are two other things that I'd like to discuss in this chapter. The first is a little detail that happens with Harry, how he gets mad at Cedric. Mm-hmm. Even though at the beginning of the chapter, he recognized all the stuff with Cedric had, you know, like the pins weren't really around anymore. And everyone seemed to be kind of getting on the same page about the support. And after establishing an equitable and mutual respect with Cedric, the fact The mere fact that he asked Cho out and she accepted, mm-hmm. Ooh, that makes Harry upset. Mm-hmm. And it shows again that not preteen, but just like that early adolescence irrationality. And you know, this is a kid that actually kind of you helped and he helped you, and now you're pissed off because he's going to a dance with a girl. Like I like that.
I know. It's interesting. And the last
thing I want to talk about is the Vila issue.
Okay.
The fact that Floor can turn it on the way that she does.
We all know how we turn it on.
Yeah, but
shoulders back. Confidence.
Bubby's out.
Bubby's out.
I don't know. It just the way is it Harry just making an excuse to help Ron, like to make himself feel better about the fact?
No, I think he's being legit. Like, man, she's part Vila. Stop hankering for a hunk of her and move on to a human.
Yeah, that's true. Fair enough. All right, you got anything else you want to talk about in this chapter, my darling?
No, I mean, we get a little mention of the Weird Sisters. I think that that's a little bit more of that story building that I wanted to make sure we mentioned about. I just love the bit that the kids are like having this fake sword fight in front of McGonagall. Yeah. Like, everyone's just acting bananas right now, which is so true for this time of year with the holidays coming up. The kids are excited. They're thinking about their extracurricular activities.
And you always had that one teacher that never let you watch a movie before the holidays. Yes. Never let you do whatever you want. Always to the very last minute made you, you know, write papers and do everything. And like that teacher would assign the paper over holiday break. Like that's Snape. That's totally Snape.
Agree.
I hate the worst. That guy. I mean, I don't hate Snape. I love Snape, but I hate that teacher that does that. Him.
He's the worst. But
no, he is.
Okay, moving on. All right. You ready for the next bit?
You ready for the different perspective?
Okay, yes.
All right. Well, yeah, you got.
Yes, I am. Okay, yes, I am.
All right, here we go.
Holy cricket. You're Harry Potter. I'm Hermione Granger. And you are?
Hermione, you know me. I'm your best friend. I'm Ginny. Why are you asking who I am?
Sorry. You know, I'm...
No wonder I've had to have a diary to be my best friend. You don't even know who I am.
Stay away from them diaries.
Well, no, I bought a new one.
You bought a new one?
It can't write back. So
you stay away from things that have a brain of their own that you don't know.
I went to a muggle shop. My mom doesn't know, but I went to a muggle shop and got this really cute one that has a little lock and it's got a frilly pen. Mm-hmm. And then as you know, Hermione, since you're my best friend.
Yes, clearly.
I just want Harry to notice me. I mean, I know he noticed me when he saved my life and flew me out of that dungeon. That was really cool. But since then, I long for his embrace.
So poetic. So you know, I think that diary is doing you well.
I know. Yes. All of my eyes in Ginny and Harry have a little heart above the eye. But I'm so upset because the worst thing happened.
Okay, what was that?
I just kind of sort of got asked to be Harry's date. And I already said yes to Neville.
Oh, you know...
Murphy's Law. I don't even know what that means. My dad says it all the time. He said, when bad things happen, just say Murphy's Law. It's what the muggles do. I'm so upset. I don't know if it fixes it. Is it a spell? Is Murphy's Law a spell like Swish and Flick? I don't know. Do you still have that time turner?
No, they confiscated it
from
me.
Please tell me you have it. So I can go back to before lunch when Neville asked me and I can say, can I get back to you at dinner?
Apparently I broke a ton of wizarding law when I did what
this
I did.
This won't break any laws. I can go to the dance with Harry Potter. Come on, Hermione, do me a solid.
I did hear about this spell that would make him fall infatuated, make him infatuated with you. In fact, it could be called the love spell.
You mean a potion?
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
Why are you sniffing? Potion. Do I smell bad?
Because I smell...
Am I the stinky kid?
No.
Is that why you didn't ask me? Am I the smelly kid? I don't pick my nose.
You don't eat it.
Don't eat it.
I suddenly smell freshly cut grass and peppermint.
Okay. Love you. And scene.
Oh, good job. Good job. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we would do all of the listener questions and email and everything. And I actually have them in the document here, but
we're going to do that for the next one.
We will have that in the next one. And also, I do want to say this before we close up the show here. I understand if you're listening to this or watching these on the socials that our podcasting has been a little erratic, especially normally we have these come out on certain days. We're doing, at least once a week for this particular show and other shows. It's just that we have been dealt some major life issues over the past couple of weeks. I, as Mary have said, have not been well, and I'm only able to do these shows when I'm able, and that seems to be very erratic,
yes.
to say the least. So, thank you for your patience. Thank you for listening and still engaging and writing. Please keep doing so. We will, I promise, get back on track. Hopefully within the next few weeks, and we'll have these come out more regularly and on schedule as they're supposed to be. So thank you. You truly do rock our socks, and I appreciate all the warmth and kindness and everything that you have sent our way to both myself and Mary. We're both in pretty difficult places at the moment, but we have each other. That's what matters most, our love, and most importantly, we got the Nerd Clan.
We've got Harry freaking Potter.
That's right. That's right. All right, Marvin, let's close this bad boy out, shall we?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
An extra reminder to you that this podcast is also sponsored by MinuteWithMary.com. If you are hoping to treat yourself this holiday season,
treat yourself.
Maybe you want to get ready for the Yule Ball yourself. I want to be your makeup girl. In addition to podcasting and being a mom and being a wife, I help people find the most perfect makeup, even if it's something as simple as a dynamite mascara. That being said, my favorite mascara is on sale to you because you're a special listener. You just go to MinuteWithMary.com/discount. It's a perfect item if case you wanted to gift it to a loved one who enjoys makeup or is maybe trying to try some new makeup. Or if you want to get a little bit more specific and do a different product, send me a message. Head on over to Facebook and ask to join my VIP group. Just search the hashtag Minute with Mary. I'm going to go through a bunch of questions to make sure that you are happy with your products. And rather than going to a big box store or an online retailer, you can be making a difference in Blake and my life.
And of course, also go to the Mary and Blake store for your holiday shopping. If you're watching me right now, you see my shirt. It always goes back to The Godfather. We got plenty of these and all the Harry Potter stuff in our Harry Potter or Potterverse collection, including some new ugly Christmas sweater designs, which I'm very excited about.
Yay!
So the MaryandBlakeStore.com for all of your gifts.
All right, my friends. On that note, my name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
Mischief managed.
Ever tried reading while jogging? Cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.